Well, the title of my message this morning is The Springs of Zion. And I want to look at a little progression with you, perhaps over the next few weeks, just of how the Lord wants to establish a flow in his people, kind of as we see it in Scripture. But, you know, really, he wants that flow to come forth from our lives. And, you know, you can kind of see a progression of the water of life, as is described, flowing from Christ, but yet flowing through us, and how it starts off as a spring, and then it can be continually tapped into as a well. But ultimately, God wants to establish a mighty river flowing from his people. And of course, our desire is the river, right? We want the river of God, because that's what brings life to the nations. You know, people can drink from it and be healed and be strengthened and so forth. And, you know, that's the picture we see in the millennium with Ezekiel's temple and a river flowing from it. But, you know, we want that today. We don't want to wait till the millennium. We want that river, you know, because that really speaks of the church in the last days, of a mighty river flowing from the people of God. And, you know, we need that. Now, we can understand a few things by considering the first river. Well, what do I mean by the first river? Well, if you read in Genesis, the very first river we talked about in Scripture was out of Eden, I should say, in Eden and then flowing out. And in fact, it turned into four mighty rivers. And, you know, it flowed out to in that area. But it had a source. It had a starting point. And the starting point was described as Eden, as the garden. And really, when you're thinking about it, the source of that river was that garden that was the place of fellowship and communion between God and man. It's where God literally came down and walked in the cool of the day with man in that place of fellowship. And that was the source of the mighty rivers that flowed out. You know, all rivers have a source. And we talked about that last time, just considering the source of the Mississippi River, you know, one of the biggest rivers in our country. And it has a source, that at least the official source. There's actually sources that come from all over, but the official source is a lake up in Minnesota. And from that lake, a little stream flows. And I was just reading about that. Actually, it used to be just this tiny little thing. And then the Army of Engineers came and made it really pretty with rocks you can walk across, because it became a national park and people came from all over to see it. But it was just a little stream at the beginning. But it's mostly spring fed. It has some springs or little tributaries into that, but it's mostly spring fed. And from that, it goes out and forms the Mississippi. And so our desire is a river, but we understand that those rivers often begin with a little spring that comes up from the ground, it almost out of nowhere, right? It just kind of comes up. Where's this water coming from? It comes right from there, that rock, you know, and it's just flowing out. And that's where the spring gets its name. It just springs up. You know, we know that there's mighty reservoirs of water flowing underneath the earth, and sometimes they just spring up in certain places and they flow out. And sometimes in the middle of a dry land, it's almost miraculous how you can find a spring just kind of coming up out of nowhere, and it becomes a source of life for that area. Now, there's one spring that's very famous, especially when we're talking about Israel, and that's a spring at Jerusalem called the Gihon Springs. And, you know, even today, you can go down into the city of David and the excavation there, and you can walk in that spring. And that's really because of Hezekiah, because he, you know, channeled out a tunnel to kind of channel that spring and keep it in the city because of the Assyrian invasion. He didn't want the Assyrians to be able to drink from the spring. He just wanted Jerusalem to have it. And so he made a tunnel and channeled that into the city, built a wall around the source. And Sarah and I actually got to walk through that spring. It's a little chilly, but it's still flowing after thousands of years. That's what I was thinking. It's like, you know, this is from the time of Abraham. This spring was flowing back then. It's been there. In fact, that's really the reason why Jerusalem, or Salem as it was called back in the day, was founded on that mountain specifically, because in Jerusalem, there's lots of mountains. You could have picked a higher one that was more defensive, more defendable, but they didn't have springs. But the Hill of Zion had a spring there, and that was the source of life. And there's a strong association with the thought of a spring with the city of God and his presence. And so let's turn to a psalm here and read it. It's pretty short, so we'll read the whole thing. But Psalm 87 and verse 1, it says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me, and Philistia and Tyre, Ethiopia. This man was born there. Verse 5, it says, and of Zion it shall be said that this man was born in her. The highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writes up the people that this man was born there. In verse 7, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Now, this is a very interesting psalm in everything it talks about. We won't get into the intricacies of it and everything it means, but you know, it's talking about a glorious city, and the Lord has established her. God has established. And it talks about those born in Zion as the ones counted by, not just by man, but by the Lord. And really what we're keying in on is this last phrase, this last expression. You know, it's like the whole previous psalm, the psalmist is speaking of the various things about the city of God and the Lord's view of those who take part in the city, whether natural, but really spiritual as well. But that last phrase turns into a cry. The psalmist, it's like he's looking to God and he's declaring, all my springs are in you. In other words, my source of life, the water of life that miraculously springs up from the ground, the source is you. You're the one I'm going to drink from. And, you know, that's the idea we need to consider, is the need for a continual spring that we make our source and we make our dwelling place. And, you know, it's interesting that David chose Jerusalem as his headquarters, but we know it's actually more than that. It wasn't just that David grew up in Bethlehem, a few miles from Jerusalem, and said, that would make a great capital one day. It goes beyond that. Even back to the time of Moses, they were thinking of God's holy mountain. In fact, we can read Exodus 15 and verse 17. It says, you shall bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Even back then, at the very beginning of their journey, the Lord was speaking to them of being planted in the mountain of his inheritance, of their inheritance. And what was awaiting them? Well, a little spring that flowed in a city, and it sustained that city. But, you know, thinking of Exodus 15, what's also interesting is at that moment, Israel was having water troubles. And it was right after this verse that they experienced Marah. Remember the bitter waters? And they were complaining at the bitter waters and so forth. But God's solution was throw in the wood, cast in a tree into the waters to make them sweet. And of course, that speaks of the cross of Christ and his work that can transform bitter waters into sweet. But ultimately, God's purpose is to bring his people to a spring, to a source of life in the city of God. Now, there's another psalm that brings this out in Psalm 46. Now, this is kind of a psalm of trouble. It's of the nations raging and the kingdoms being shaken. But in Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And then verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams there shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. But look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the breaking of the dawn. Now, there is a river that flows out, but it's a stream that establishes it. And it's for one reason, because God is in the midst of her. It's a stream or a spring of the presence of God, and it sustains the city of God. And it's representative of what God wants to establish in each of us, a spring of living water that he wants to bubble up continually within us. And it's something that when it's established, it sustains us through whatever season. You know, that's the nice thing about a spring. You know, if it's a dry season, that spring doesn't care. Its source is from the depths, and it comes up no matter how much rain has come. It just flows. And so a spring will sustain us through times of difficulty, of doubt, of dryness, or even the enemy laying siege, you know, with thoughts and all sorts of things. You know, Jerusalem was never defeated for lack of water. If you think about that, it wasn't because they ran out of water. When the Assyrians surrounded Jerusalem, they held out. They had all the water they needed because the king had redirected the springs, you know, so that the people can drink from them. And they built the walls around the original source so the Assyrians couldn't get to the water. They had to look elsewhere. But here's a truth we want to consider for why Jerusalem fell. It fell because they started to look for water in other places. And we can see that warning given by Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain or the spring of living waters, and they hewed them out instead, cisterns, but they're broken cisterns, they're cracked cisterns, and they can't hold any water. Now, that word for fountain, it carries a lot of root ideas of basically it means the source or the origin of where something proceeds from. You know, they forsook the Lord, they forsook me, the origin, the source of the living waters. And instead, they drank from other sources. And so maybe you could say they went and looked for some nice pools, or rain, they made some containers to catch the rain or so forth, but it was from a different source. And, you know, in life, there are many things that can feel satisfying for a season. They come easy, they feel good, but Jeremiah tells us what happens. That it's a fulfillment that our vessel can't contain. And it's almost like when that comes into our vessel, it's going to crack our vessel. It can't contain it. And it's just going to leak out. It's like our vessel was not designed to contain water from other sources, only from the source of the spring of God. And so those cracks develop. And even though there's constantly infilling, there's a constant outflow and a leakage back down to the ground. And, you know, and so there's other things in life that are based on other sources that can satisfy us for a time. And it could be relationships, it could be money, it could be pleasures, and so forth. But, you know, as I said, it's almost like our vessel was not designed to be satisfied with those waters. As soon as they come in, they go out. And so you have to keep filling it with more and more and more. And that's why there's, you know, there's rich people ascending to the heights of riches, because it's never enough. It's never enough for them. There's never a place where they can say, wow, I got what I wanted. Satisfaction through money. I don't think anyone in history has ever said that. They just want more. I want to be the greatest, or so forth, or whatever. But when we turn to the Lord and make Him our source, you know, that's where satisfaction comes. When we cry out for all our springs to be in Him, that's where we find true satisfaction. There's another psalm we can look at, Psalm 36, verse 7, where we see this. He says, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." In verse 8, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You will give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." And, you know, that's the Lord's desire, is because with Him is the fountain of life, and He would have us drink of the river of His pleasures for all eternity as we make Him our source. Now, there's one aspect we have to consider in this, because, you know, it's about how a spring is found or established, and it has to do with the location in our journey. Because the reality is, the springs are not always found in the easy places where it's convenient. And we can see this and depicted in one of the chapters in Isaiah. In Isaiah 41 and verse 17, it says, "The poor and the needy seek water, but there's none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." Now, if you were looking for a list of hard places, you would find it in this verse, right? Of desolate heights, of valleys and wilderness and dry land. But it is in those places that God provides a source and a satisfying, because that they find a source in Him. And so, where are the fountains and the rivers found? I use this translation because I thought that was an interesting way to say it. Desolate heights. The desolate heights. And in the dry valleys. But, you know, at times we look around and we see the various seasons God leads us through. And sometimes He leads us to the mountaintops. And sometimes the mountaintops are nice. Like Peter, the Mount of Transfiguration. This is a mountaintop I could stick around with. Lord, let's build some booths to dwell in. We're Israelites. We know how to build booths. And we're going to stay here. Other times, the mountaintop is tough going. You just feel like you're just crawling on hands and knees to get to that place. And when you get there, it's desolate. There's nothing here. And, you know, isn't that the case? When you're climbing high mountains, a lot of times you get to that point, that high alpine level where the trees can't grow anymore. And it's just rock or bushes or shrubs, because those high places can be desolate. And you think, Lord, why on earth did you bring me to this desolate place? To have this desolate experience. And we think, how can God produce a river here? How can I find a stream and a spring here? But I think that's the point, is that the Lord wants to establish a supernatural source of supply in our hearts and in our lives. One that will endure any season, any drought, any threat of the enemy. they won't be able to move us because we have a source found in him. You know, there were actually several places in Israel where there was much more abundant water than at Jerusalem and around there. I mean, you could go to Dan in the north, and that had these beautiful streams that flowed down from Mount Hermon, and they have a lot of water. It's very fertile up there. Or you could go south to En Gedi, and they have some beautiful streams down there. I've never been there, didn't get the chance to go there, but it's very luscious and beautiful because of the water. You could go east a little bit to Jericho, actually. There's a famous spring there in Jericho, and that kind of helped it, or helped it to be called the City of the Palms. It was like a little oasis. But Jerusalem just had a little spring. In fact, it was kind of the place of a hidden spring. The Gihon, it was like a down in the ground. You had to descend down. In fact, they've excavated in the City of David, and they've put nice stairs there now. But they found ancient steps carved into the rock where the inhabitants had to walk down. In fact, it was about 30 meters. They had to walk down to get to that spring and draw water. How'd you like that, ladies? Every morning, walk down 30 meters of steps down in a cave. I don't know what they had for lights, but that's how they got their water to draw it back up. And, you know, they fixed it later on with, and so forth. But you know, it was a hidden spring. And, you know, really, that's a message for us, is that there's a need to develop and guard the secret place in our own lives, that hidden time of personal worship, of prayer, of praise, of devotion, you know, in his word, of every day going down to the low place, of recognizing I need to drink from his spring, and so that we become those dependent ones, just desperate for a drink that flows from the spring of Christ. And that's a daily determination, right? If it was your day to get water, oh man, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to determine. I'm going to walk down those steps. I'm going to put my jar in the water and then carry it all the way back up, because I want to drink from the hidden stream, the spring. You know, if the hidden spring is neglected, what flows out is also going to dry up, because there's no source flowing in. There's one last thought I wanted to bring out here, because, you know, we're looking at the idea, how can the springs of Zion flow in me? Because when they flow in each of us, they flow cumulative. There's a cumulative flow, so there can be a river that flows out. And, you know, we're looking at this idea of the springs of Zion being in us. But I wanted to look back at the verse we read in Psalm 87 and verse 7. It says, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. And then that cry, all my springs are in thee. And so it's the singers and the players, or the worshipers, those who practice praising the Lord. And then that declaration, that determination is made, all my springs are in thee. And so there's that tie with the rejoicing spirit of those who rejoice in the Lord. And in one sense, it's the rejoicing spirit that protects us from having broken cisterns, because it's recognizing day by day, Lord, I need you. I need your life. Lord, thank you for the life of your spirit, because that's the only thing that satisfies me. It's a spirit that constantly looks to the Lord and say, Lord, all my springs are in you. I'm not going to look to any other source. I'm not going to look to the rivers of up north in Dan, or the springs of En Gedi down south, or even real close. I'm not going to look to Jericho. Lord, I'm going to look to this hidden spring and establish that as my source, because that is where the presence of God is. That's where he dwells. And so there's great power in choosing to rejoice, because it brings a turning, it brings life. And of course, rejoicing, just two more thoughts here. You know, rejoicing often takes place during, we talked about the desolate heights, or sometimes the difficulties that happen. You know, Peter called them manifold temptations that we pass through. And in 1 Peter 1:5, it talks about we, you know, as believers who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we experience heaviness and through manifold temptations, and that's where we get that phrase. But then verse 8, whom having not seen, we love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, there's no other power in the Christian life like rejoicing that can cause the water of life to flow in our midst. It that enable us to go down to the depths of a situation and find a spring that gives us life. You know, it might have been a barren or empty situation, but sometimes it's that exact situation of barrenness that causes us to cry out to the Lord and to look to him and rejoice that causes that spring to bubble up and flow in our lives so that we, you know, he enables us to overcome with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'll close with one last set of verses because they're kind of a picture for us of the transformation that can come in the dry places. This is in Isaiah 35 and verse 1. It says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Verse 2, and it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. And then down in verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, that's what we want. Amen. Oh, to come to Zion singing with everlasting joy on our heads. And I think this is a case of reaping what we sow. You know, that in the dry and desolate places, in the desolate heights, if we rejoice in the Lord and make him our song of joy, the streams of Zion will flow. And there will be not just a natural, but an eternal reaping, everlasting joy upon our heads. Not just great joy, everlasting joy upon our heads. Sorrow and sighing flee away. I'm ready for that day when sorrow and sighing just go running out the door. That might take a little bit, might take the rest of our lives, right? Because God's using those things to work in us. But there comes a day when sorrow and sighing are going to just run as fast as they can because they have no more place in eternity. But that's because God's doing a work to establish the streams of Zion in us. And so we need the springs of Zion. But it comes with a daily determination. I will look to no other source. I won't allow the things in me that just come in and flow away. But Lord, cause all my springs to be found in you. And then we got to do the work. We have to ascend to the desolate heights, but then also descend down those stairs into the hidden spring and make that our daily source of life. That in all situations, whatever we see, we would rejoice in joy unspeakable and full of glory. But in doing so, we will find a stream and a spring that makes glad the city of God. And Lord, we thank you that you are our water of life. You are the spring. and the stream that, Lord, you've established to flow. And so, Lord, that's our cry. Lord, would you bring us in to the springs of Zion? Lord, that you would establish, Lord, something eternal, something lasting within us that would be our source. Lord, we thank you for the times when we've been able to drink from you. Lord, we acknowledge that there's also times when, Lord, that there's been other sources, there's been other things. But Lord, we want, Lord, your springs to be our source of life, that is what we look for, that's what we come to, Lord, that we would be willing to just descend day by day, Lord, into that low place where you dwell and drink from you and walk with you and know you in that place. And that, Lord, from that, a mighty river would flow out. And so, Lord, do your work in us today. Oh, do a fresh work. Oh, Lord, that the springs of Zion would flow in our hearts and would flow in our midst, we ask. And we just thank you for it. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.